Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good early morning. God bless you. From Tri-Anointed Ministries, this is Evangelist Von Dumas. I'm coming to you with a great cheer in my heart, and I pray that I find you with the same in yours. So how's it going for you? How was your night? How was your day? What are you looking forward to today? Hey, well, let's get in here and let's praise the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever is going on, good times, bad times, whatever it is that's going on, I pray that you take God's love with you today. I pray that even during the bad times that you try to reverse anything that is coming against you today by covering it with the blood of Jesus. God's love is that powerful. God's love is that healing touch that makes the sin sick soul rise up and want to praise and want to worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just get started with putting a little music in our soul. Maybe you're just getting up and getting ready to start your day. It's 5 a.m. Central Time, so that means it's 6 a.m. for Eastern. And I know that some of the other coasts are definitely not up and moving around yet, but you'll catch it in the archives. Hallelujah. So whatever time zone it is, God has the word, his word, his faithful word that never changes, right for you, for your situation, for your day. Because he knows what's going on in your day. Nothing gets past him. He knows everything that's going on. Let's get a little spirit in our word. you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I am grateful that you didn't say no. Lord, I am grateful that you didn't say no. Hallelujah. Don't want to take you for granted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just go in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you, your throne of mercy. We thank you for your Holy Spirit right now, Jesus. Oh, your Holy Spirit is right here, right now amongst us. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word will be spoken. You have a word for us tonight, dear Father, a changing word. Thank you, dear Father, that you're wanting to be in our lives. You're wanting to do favors for us. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. You said, I am that I am. Whatever we need, that's who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord, your precious love, your precious Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, God, for your Son. Oh, we come to you, dear Father, with humbled hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to accept our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. We bring all of our requests to you, Jesus. We prepare ourselves for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. And the mighty Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three heads in one, tri-anointed. Anoint your body, dear Father. We are the body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every listener, whether now or whenever you need it to be, put into their ears for their hearts to receive. Oh, dear Father, I ask you to dig down deep. If you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen us, Jesus. Take it out and refill it, dear Father, with your precious love. Oh, with your precious Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask blessings over all the sick and the bereavement, over all the incidents and the people in Washington that was in the train accident today. Just blessing over that situation. Just, oh, his comfort needs to be put in the hearts right now. And, oh, someone is just down and depressed, and someone's hanging on, dear Father, and they haven't sought you yet, dear Father, but I pray that the one that you send their way, that they open up their hearts and receive you and invite you in and experience the wonderful love of you, even if it's just for the last minute, 5 minutes before they leave this earth. On this side, may they be able to rejoice in your love. We ask blessings over our president. May his decisions be the ones, dear Father, not what he has in mind, but what you put in his heart. And we ask blessings over all of those that go against him, that they want to come together to pray for one another, that we pray for our leaders. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, bless your word. Amen. Amen. What if God said no? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to get our scripture, and we're going to go right into our word for tonight. Our scripture is coming from 2 Chronicles, and this is 2 Chronicles 20, and we're going to start at verse 15 and go through verse 17. Now, this is during King Jehoshaphat's time and the trials he was going through. And this word is for so many. But this was laid on our hearts to definitely give to the people. Again, in 2 Chronicles 20, we're starting at verse 15. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." I feel someone is facing a vast army today. That do not be afraid or even discouraged. Don't even want you to be discouraged. He said, "For the battle is not yours." Step back from that situation, Mom. The battle is not yours. Oh, that's for me. But God, he said, tomorrow's march. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of death, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerol. You will not have to fight this battle. Hallelujah. These shackles is just going to start to fall off this time. Father, that thing that you're going through with your job, you're not going to have to go through fighting this battle. This battle is not yours. They're going to come up and offer you beyond what you even thought it was going to be. So take up your position. Stand firm, saints. See the deliverance the Lord will give you. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Hallelujah. He repeats it for you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. And guess what? The Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the good word. That's a good word for you, sisters and brothers. That's a good word. Lift up your bowed down head. Good word. Stand on the word. Go out and face them tomorrow, your opposition. Don't be afraid and don't even be discouraged. And the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. And the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. You know, curse. You hear a lot about cursing. People say, I'm cursed. I had someone come up and they was telling me, you know, I think that this woman put a curse on my husband. I think his first wife put a curse on him. And sometimes we get hooked up and so hung up on who's going to put a curse here and there. And a lot of different cultures are really indulging and getting themselves involved in curses. Just for a few quickly. In the African American, you know, voodoo presents us with jinx. Our Haitians in cross conditions, they will say, I'm going to put a jinx on you, or you've been jinxed, as well as a form of foot track magic. You know, whereby cursed objects, they're laid in the path of victims, and then they're activated as they walk over them. In the Middle Eastern or the Mediterranean cultures, the source of the belief is an evil eye, which may be the result of envy, but more rarely said to be the result of a deliberate curse. In order to be protected from the evil eye, a protection item is made from dark blue circular glass and a circle of white around the black dot in the middle of it, which is a remnant of the human eye. Now, the size of the protective eye item may vary, but that's the evil eye that they go through, and the curse is from there. German people, including the Pennsylvania Dutch, speak in terms of hexing. Hexing is actually a German word, comes from witchcraft. And a common hex in days past was that laid by a stable witch, which caused milk cows to go dry and horses to go lame. Indian people used the word Swabi and Hindu and Marathi, Champagne, and the Malayas, and different things, different cultures from generation to generation is what I'm trying to tell you, gets hooked up in different types of curses. The word would never have entered the earth if Adam and Eve would have just obeyed God, you know? But we all know what happened. So instead of subduing the devil, they did what? They listened to his lies and obeyed his command. Now, as a result, we know that they lost their authority in the earth. They lost their right standing with God. They lost the garden home. They lost everything that was provided there for them through this one act of disobedience to God's command. Adam and Eve paved the way for the curse to enter the earth. Today, my title is God's Love, Reversing the Curse. Hallelujah! Reversing the curse. Do you ever feel like you've been cursed? Do you ever feel like you're in a generation of curse? That it happens, you have saw this thing, the same thing goes through generations, just wiping out your ancestors, your generation, and now it comes to knock on your door? Hallelujah for God's love. It's able to reverse the curse. What is your curse? Do you think it is that, you know, it's obesity? Do you think your curse is a disease, a sickness? Do you think it's, you know, we just got tempers. We just go off. We're just fighters. We just pick wrong spouse. We just marry over and over and over again. We just have lots of babies out of wedlocks by different men. We just never marry. We've been known to have 3 and 4 men over on the side. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. What is the curse that you see upon you? What is the curse that you see upon you? God's love is willing. Are you willing to accept his love? Are you willing to accept the reversal for that curse? Here's the word. Open up your heart. This is your time. This is your time to break a generational curse. Just because the ones before you was holding on to that, believing that there was no break, that's just the way it's going to be. That's just the way it is. You have the opportunity right now. You're not just listening by happenstance. This is for you to stand and do something. Didn't we just get through reading the word telling us, do not be afraid and don't even be discouraged. Don't even let the enemy discourage you. Hallelujah. The word said, go on out and face your enemy. Whatever it is, call it out. Write it down. Put it in your Bible. Put the scripture beside it. Face your enemy, that the Lord will be with you. But this battle is not yours. This battle is not yours. God's just waiting on you to take a stand. Waiting on you to take a stand. Be strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he will give you deliverance of it. Because even though Adam and Eve started the curse, let me just rewind something for you. Let's make sure that we understand something. Nothing gets by God. Nothing goes without God knowing about it. So long before any sin was ever committed, our God had a plan that would reverse the curse and restore mankind to right standing with him. Long before any sin was ever committed. Hallelujah, isn't that a good God? Hallelujah. Works out of the sight of man for the good of man. Long before. Why? Because he wants to restore you, sister. He is willing to restore you, brother, right now. Restore you to your right standing with him. Before the foundation of the earth, it was settled in the throne room of heaven that Jesus Christ would shed his blood to redeem mankind. I like that. Somebody's looking out for you. You think nobody knows your situation. You think you're all by yourself. You think you've went too far. You think you just went too far this time. You think you don't know your way to even get back to God. But even before the foundations of the earth, it was already settled, in the throne room of heaven, that Jesus Christ would shed his blood to redeem you. Put your name in there. Somebody said, how could that be? Me? Do you know how all the abuse I've been through? You sure God wants to redeem me? You. You. Talk to him. Tell him, God, I'm ready to be redeemed. Let him reveal to you his plans he has for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Plans to prosper you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the one act of love, just Jesus, by him shedding his blood, that one act of love reversed the curse forever, and it shattered the power of the devil. It shattered his power to steal. It shattered his power to kill. It shattered his power to destroy. Just that one act of love from Jesus Christ. This one act of love also paved the way for God's blessing to be upon everyone that would obey his word by faith. Everyone. From the beginning, blessings have been the central element of God's covenant with mankind. From the beginning. Let's think about it. You know, the very first words that Adam and Eve heard were blessing words. I need you to get your swords for me. Let's follow this here. The very first words that they heard was blessing words. Let's go to in the Enoch, the Old Testament, Genesis 1:28. It reveals, it's recorded that all generations would know God's will for his creation. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, oh, come on now, sisters. He said, be fruitful. He said, multiply. He said, replenish the earth. He said, subdue it and have dominion. Ooh, don't you feel the blessings in this? Have dominion over the fish of the sea. And have dominion over the fowl of the earth. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. Blessings. Words of blessedness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessing words. Even after the fall of Adam and Eve, God's covenant promise of blessings always reverses the curse on anyone that would obey him by faith. Stand in Genesis 12:3. God told Abraham, he said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. That's his love. That's God's love. God's love can heal any broken heart. It can reverse any curse. God wants you to be blessed. Blessing is a powerful thing. The Nelson Illustrated Bible Dictionary defines it in this way. It says the act of declaring or wishing. See, God's favor and goodness upon others. So the act of declaring or wishing God's favor and goodness upon others. The way he describes blessing. Who is it that you want to declare God's favor upon? That person that you're praying, you're calling out. Go ahead and declare right now. Call out their name and declare God's favor, and declare God's goodness, and declare God's favor, and declare God's goodness right now. Oh, mother, grandmother, father, grandfather, there's no need to pace in the floor. I tell you, you're not sleeping. It's showing in your work. It's showing all in your face. It's showing in your body. If you could see inside of you the stress that we see out here on the outside, it's tripling inside of you. Hallelujah. Stop trying to fight this battle. This battle is not yours. You just need to stand strong and declare God's favor and goodness upon the situation. Take a moment and call out their names. I declare God's goodness and favor upon my children's lives right now. Right now. Lameka, I declare God's goodness, God's favor. JD, I declare God's favor, God's goodness. James, I declare God's favor and God's goodness upon your life right now. Put a Holy Ghost hit out on your children. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. A Holy Ghost hit out on your children. The blessing is not only the good efforts of words. You hear me? It's not only the good efforts of words. It also has the power to bring them to pass. This thing is real. When you're declaring this favor, when you're declaring the goodness, you want to see it brought to pass. Hallelujah. In the Bible, important persons bless those with less power. They bless those with less influence. The patriarchs pronounced benefits upon their children, just like we just did. Often near their own death, they would call in their kids and bless them. Put blessings on their head. Genesis again, 49:1-28. Look at that one real quickly. It said, even if spoken by mistake, once a blessing was given, it could not be taken back. Hallelujah. So we got now Genesis 49:1-28, where the patriarchs is pronouncing the benefits for their children, even mostly during their time of death. Then in Genesis 27, it tells us that even if that is spoken by mistake, we know that, Esau and Jacob. Once a blessing was given, it could not be taken back. Once a blessing was given, it could not be taken back. Hallelujah. Bless the situation. Bless the situation. Pronounce God's blessings upon your children's life, your loved one's life, that spouse that you're constantly praying for, that situation on your job, that new position. Recession going around, but God ain't recessed, and he ain't depressed. God has progression. For that new job that you're waiting for. Hallelujah. Declare favor, God's favor and God's goodness upon that position. Woo, I accept that with myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we know from experience that the value of saying blessing words over our family, I know from firsthand. Hallelujah. Send blessing words over our families so that God can fulfill his covenant in the earth. So that God can fulfill his covenant in the earth. Now, in Numbers chapter 6, God gave specific instructions about pronouncing his blessings on others. Let's look at that. It's Numbers chapter 6. And we'll just start at 22, let's go through 27. read. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye may bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Hallelujah. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Whew, how many know it's nothing like having peace? And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I will bless them. Hallelujah. When we pronounce a blessing, people, when we pronounce a blessing on someone, it's not like a light thing. This is a strong thing. When you pronounce a blessing upon someone, take it not lightly. Expect a miracle from it. It is a command word that is recognized in heaven, and it changes people on earth. Every time we say, God bless you, it should remind us that the curse has been reversed and blessings is restored. Woo, hallelujah. Blessings is restored. Now, as born again believers, we're not subject to the curse of the law. In Galatians 3:13-14, the Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is one thing that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing, there we go again, of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, Jesus Christ, the anointed one, has reversed the curse. We discover that, right? And he paved the way to the blessing. We got that, correct? Now, his blood has redeemed you from any curse that would want to come across your path. We went through some. If sickness or any curse listed in Deuteronomy 28 attacks your household, you can take authority over it. See, it really doesn't matter what you're going through. My God is still able to reverse that curse, to pave the way to blessings for you. So it doesn't matter what attacks your household. You have authority over that situation. Why are you sitting downstairs whining and crying about it? You've told all your friends, everybody that will listen, you've told them the situation. You've went through your different stages. You get stuck sometimes. In many situations, it makes us angry. But it's just a step to go through. Don't stop there. But when you get stuck there, you just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to push the person out of my life. The situation, I'm just not even going to speak of it anymore. I'm not going to call that person's name anymore. To me, they're dead. Because you don't believe that God can reverse the curse that's over their life. You don't believe that any change is going to be made. But again, it says that you have the authority over it. So could it be that they are still where they at because you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing also? See, that you don't have to put up with an attack from the devil. Why are you putting up with that? No wonder the devil works overtime to stop you from studying the Bible. No wonder he works overtime to stop you from living the word that you've read if you are reading the Bible. No wonder the devil works overtime trying to faithfully stop you from attending church. He knows that it's all over for him the moment that you discover the authority given to you by Jesus Christ. He knows it's all over. If you ever can get the true understanding of the authority that has been given to you by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now in Luke 10:19, Jesus declared, he says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurts you." Nothing. That means whatever the situation is that you're going through, whatever the situation is going through, any power, nothing can hurt you. Oh, and in John, let's look at John 4:14. I know our time is running short, but let's keep on with the word. And in John 4:14, he gave you authority to use his name. He says, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Hallelujah. Joey, go anything, anything that you ask in his name, he said he will do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's exactly what happened in Acts 3:6 to the paralyzed man that sat at the gate of the city. We all know the story. And when he asked for alms, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hallelujah. He gave him better than silver and gold. By the authority that he had within him, that we have within us, he used the mighty name of Jesus. And with that, he put the situation with the name of Jesus, and that situation had no longer could be. Demanded the man, "Now you rise up and walk." See, the authority to use the name of Jesus instantly healed the man. He was so excited that he took off running. He couldn't walk. He took off running and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Praising God. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to wait till your situation is over. Your child's still acting on that. Go ahead and praise him now. Hallelujah. Go ahead and run and leap for him now. When you have the authority to use somebody's name, it is as though they were standing there in person. Oh, hallelujah. It's just like Jesus was standing there in front of the man. You used his name. I dare you to stand in front of your child. Stand in front of your bed before you lay down. Your loved one may be asleep. Stand in front of him and use the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just like he's standing there in person. And when you use the name of Jesus in faith, everything that his name has to bow. Actually, the devil messed up when he put a name on your problem. Hallelujah. Come on now. The devil messed up when he named your sickness. Cancer has to bow. Diabetes has to bow. High blood pressure has to bow. Poverty has to bow. Oppression has to bow. Fear has to bow. And every name that is named has to bow. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Hallelujah. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Ooh, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and to the glory of God the Father. One more time. Somebody needs to just hear that again. Philippians 2:10-11. I'm sure you've heard it over and over and over again, but there's something about now that is going to get in your spirit like never before. It said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Paul prayed that the Ephesians would know. He said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Ephesians continues. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers, far above all might and dominion, and every name that is named, far above it. Not only is this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Get excited. Ephesians 1:19-22. Hallelujah. And then 2 and 6. Something to get excited about. So you are seated with Christ and blessed with full authority to use his name to bust the devil's head back into the dust. You better get busy. You better get busy. Why is it that you hear people, they sing, I got the devil under my feet? Well, I have a question. If he's under your feet, how is he demanding you to do so much? If you got him under your feet, how is he directing you to go get drunk every night? If you got him under your feet, how is he leading you into so much temptation every day? If you got him under your feet, why is he telling you, putting so much doubt in your mind? You better get a second hold. You better look again. You better look again. You do have that authority. You do have the authority to bust him, put him back in the dust. Let's get truly busy. Let's truly make a difference. Let's truly do this. Hallelujah. Throughout the Bible, we can read about different people, different ones who victoriously, when they believed God's word, they walked by faith. Just think about the curse, the plague that came to destroy the firstborn of Egypt. God gave specific instructions to the Hebrews to apply the blood over their doorposts so that the destroyer could not enter into their homes. Now, those that obeyed actually reversed the curse that was on that land. Those that obeyed, hallelujah, they were set apart for protection. They were set apart for salvation because of their obedience to the word of God. You've got to be obedient to the word of God. Now, however, if you refuse to obey God, just as they, for the ones who refused, all of their firstborns in their households would die along with the Egyptians. Don't refuse to obey God. Then you start to die in your life. You can't even keep a plant alive when you start to disobey God. Disobedience takes you farther away from God. You see your car breaking down. You see the people you considered as your friends are now turning away for no reason that you can think of. Disobedience to God separates you. Separates you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that would not have been God's fault. God actually gave the warning, but we're so anxious all the time to start putting things because we are disobedient. Why did God let this happen? This is God's fault. Hallelujah. Now, how is it going to be if he says, he tells you and warns you to put the blood over your house for protection, for salvation, and you don't? I dare you blame God. But many did. Many did. When he clearly revealed to them how they would be protected from the curse that had come upon the land because of sin, it was up to them to do something about it. They had to walk in obedience and do what God had called them to do. And so do you. So do I. That's just the way it is. Now, when God sent Jesus to the cross, he had your blessing on his mind. I love that. Hallelujah. When God sent Jesus to the cross, he had your blessing. What are you needing? Call it out. He carried your blessing to the cross with him. He had your blessing on his mind. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." See, everything we could possibly need to be an overcomer in this life is ours in Christ. It's ours in Christ. So think about it. Any spiritual blessing. Think about any spiritual blessing. God has already given it to you. God has already given it to you. You have a promise to be blessed in everything that you do. Deuteronomy 28:8, you have a promise to be empowered to prosper in every area of your life. 3 John and 2, you're redeemed from the curse of the law so that you can walk in boldness. Oh, you got to walk in wisdom, walk in favor, walk in his strength, and have victory over every single day of your life, every single day of your life. Knowledge of this truth gives you power to run into enemy's camps and take back all that was stolen from you. You say, how do I do that? By boldly declaring God's promise and enforcing his will for your life. With your heart and your mouth, you need to say things like, the curse has been reversed. The curse has been reversed. And don't get hooked up on it, oh, it sounds good. You got to put it more than that. You got to go deeper than that. You got to believe. You got to get to a point that you're believing this. You got to not just listen to this word, to this sermon here just once. You got to get it. You got to play it back and forth. You got to write it down. You got to do what you need to do to make it a difference in your life. The curse has been reversed. Tell yourself, I am blessed of the Lord. I am empowered in every area of my life. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I am above and I'm not beneath. I am walking in favor. I am walking in promise. Hallelujah. My body is whole in the name of Jesus. Search out God's promises to you and then reverse the curse. Hallelujah. Then when you go back again, take some of the promises that we went over tonight. Once you find them, go back with those promises and start to just rehearse those verses. Rehearse the verse. Go over it. Stand firm on God's covenant. His covenant promise to you, and declare, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And I don't have to be sick. And I don't have to be poor. And I don't have to be oppressed. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to have low self-esteem. See, the blessing of Abraham's are mine. The blessing of Abraham are yours. Once you know who you are in Jesus, you realize that you're not walking around alone in this life. God himself is walking within you, and he's empowering you to prosper. When you begin to take hold of how much God has already done for you, it is not only going to transform your life, but it's going to transform all those that are around you. So don't be surprised if you hear people starting to say things like, who is this person? This is not the same person I grew up with. This is not the same person that I hung out with last week. Who are you? What's going on in your life? You've changed. What's different about you? See, I believe God wants to strengthen you today and let you know how much he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to not only reverse the curse over your life, but to bless you eternally in heaven and on earth. In this present life, once you accept him, you're no longer under the curse of the law. Sin, sickness, and oppression of any kind has been eradicated by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blessing God promised to Abraham's seed belongs to you and all that will obey his word by faith. And that blessing is this: and I will bless them that bless thee. Put your name in there. And I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Again, this is Genesis 3. Receive God's blessing today. Receive God's blessing today. Reverse the curse. Prepare your heart for newness. Prepare your mind for newness. Start to tell yourself, it is okay. It's all going to be okay. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd just like to take a moment for this opportunity to introduce you to the greatest friend you ever have. And as you say these words, if you believe them with your heart, you will be born again, according to Romans 10:9-10. Just repeat, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. Oh, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. And as 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New Testament says, old things have passed away. Beyond all things have become new. They're still going to try to offer you the pipe. They're still going to try to seduce you in their bed. They're still going to try to offer you the bottle. But you got to remind yourself so you can remind them that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And friends, you have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to, starting right now. Your slate is clean before God. Whatever you've done before, that's your BC days before Christ. Your slate is clean now before God. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and love for you. Let me know about your decision to follow Christ. I'd be more than happy to send out anything to help you. You can get in touch with me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also, of course, call me personally at 210-264-5287. Hallelujah. But make sure that you get with a Bible teaching church. Hallelujah. If you need a church referred to you in your area, I'd be more than happy to give a church in your area to refer you to. Hallelujah. As you begin your new life as a believer, remember that Christ is thinking about you, and he only wants the best for your life. God bless you. God bless you. God, we thank you for your wonderful word. We ask that this word penetrate the hearts and the minds of those. Dear Father, we just thank you for your joy, your peace. Thank you for your blessings on our life. As we go out today on our wherever we're going, we just go with blessings. We go knowing that we have the authority to use your name, and that when we use your name, it's just like you're standing right there. So by the authority that is inside of me, because you live within me, I carry you with you with me everywhere I go. By that authority, in the name of Jesus, I declare healing on all of the listeners. I declare prosperity on all of the listeners, over their households and their families. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. God bless you, sisters and brothers. Don't let this opportunity pass by. Tomorrow may be too late. Don't let this opportunity pass by. What if God says no? What if he says, no, you've had your opportunity? Don't let him come back and catch you with your work undone. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Try it.
Life would be ministry. Probably be erased
tonight.
Joy would be refrained, and love would be unchanged. If he said no to failure, if he said no to grace, for my eyes would know no happiness to show. What if he said no? My life we have a chance. What if he said no and took away his hand? What if he said no to healing and blessing and miracles? So I'm grateful he didn't say no. Peace would be a mystery. Pain would go on for eternity. Hope would fade away. Storms wouldn't pass, they'd stay. If he
tomorrow. God bless. Don't forget to rate the show. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to rate the show. Tomorrow we're going to start a series on the 30-Day Believers series. So make sure you check with us, okay? God bless you.